Italianami. Dalej mama. You're listening to the Dali Mama with your host, Alexis.
There's nothing like a crisp apple in the beginning of fall, right after the first frost. The tart, the sweet, the bite, the juice. What's your favorite apple? Mine used to be the Honeycrisp, but something's gone wrong in the formula. They've turned into spongy, not crisp, not even sweet or honey. So I've actually gone back to the Cortland apple, the Braeburn, which is an iffy apple. The Fuji sometimes gets a little fungus. Boo. You taste this fungi taste, especially around the core area. Can you tell I'm an apple aphrodisiaco? I don't even know how to say that. I'd definitely say a Gala is a good apple. But these little Cortlands, their flesh is white. The juice is just bursting. They remind me of picking an apple out of a tree out in Wakanda, Illinois, as a child. And it was an apple orchard. And I would get those apples and put them in a bin, and we'd bring them in. We'd weigh them. We'd pay. And then we pick out some candy sticks and toss those in there too. Cinnamon, most of all, because those taste the best with an apple. Happy autumn, friends. Hi, it's Dali Mama. I'm Alexis, and I'm your host. Today, I'm just going to sit back and do some painting and maybe talk to you a little bit about what I've been going through, maybe update you. I've been going through a bunch of shit. I'm one of the few people in the world that are choosing to, rather than being forced to be in quarantine. There's a lot of people around the world that are in quarantine due to where they live and their state, but I'm in one of the states that chooses to go ahead and open up the doors. Or Trump chose to do that, I don't know which. Our country is very divided right now. I don't like that either. So anyway, I been facing some financial hardship, to be honest. I'm finding out to be, I can't think of the word. I'm maybe a zealot, but not exactly. As I'm a compassionate, hypersensitive being, and so I'm hypersensitive to childhood. My childhood, I see it very fresh in my mind. It was rough, it was hard, I moved a lot, and so I recognize that there's a lot of healing that needs to go on in my heart about my childhood. And so I'm focusing a lot on making sure that that doesn't happen to my own children. Their mental health has become my number one priority along with my own mental health. And so in 2019, I don't know, I decided to pull the kids out of school and just, I dropped my 40-hour-a-week job, and I couldn't, I saw that it just wasn't, I was losing my children, and I was losing everything. I was losing my will to even keep on pushing through life. It was too much. So I quit my job and I started working as a server and then a bartender in restaurants, and no seedy bars. I just went to the, I like to go to the swanky ones. I like tips. So I go to the bigger restaurants and bars. And so I got a job serving tables, and it broke my heart. I started last year in July in 2019. And I started serving tables, bartending again. It felt really foreign. I kept feeling like I needed to talk myself into believing that I could do it, even though each table that I had, my customers were raving about, you know, what a nice person I am, blah, 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 and they had a great time. I needed the, I guess, the confidence there to know that I can do a good job. But I quit the job. I worked 25, 20, 30 hours a week. That way I was home with the kids during the day. And then on the weekend nights, I was away and bartending and being with other people other than my children, which to me was really hard to, what's the word, feel that it was okay. You know, like I just didn't think that it was all right what I was doing, but it was what I had to do in order to get by. I seem to have misplaced some art material, so I might sound like I'm far away for a moment. But being in that kind of mindset all the time, it was eating away at me, knowing that I was sending my kids to school each day before that to be, you know, to be parented basically by strangers. And, you know, my kids would have needs during the day and maybe even need to be hugged or comforted, and strangers would be doing that. That was really hard for me to accept. And then when I pulled them from school, that stress dropped. And then the stress to homeschool was like, you know, 300 times harder. But I had homeschooled in the past, so it wasn't completely foreign, but I did get rid of a lot of my homeschool material when I put the kids in school back in 2016. So I had to start over from scratch, and that wasn't easy. But I'm trying to go the route of unschooling, and I'm also trying to keep it interesting, keep it fun, keep it light, and keep it where it's weekly, it's interesting. We've got coding, we've got art. And so for the first year, we pretty much basically were working on our personalities and how to get along with one another. You know, to be honest, after I put the kids into school back in 2016, I kind of was feeling like it, you know, parenting could be put on autopilot of some sort. And in my mind's eye, it would take a big weight off my shoulders, when in reality, when they were at school, I missed them. And especially when I was working the, you know, the weekend job, then I was home all day and they were at school and then they were coming home with these complaints. And I'd be like, you know, your teacher did what? And moving into homeschooling made it so that my kids can come to me when they're having a hard time. They can come to me when they're crying. They can come to me when someone's been unfair. And then the other kid, of course, is my kid, so I have to deal with that. But I'm learning how to parent them while learning how to parent myself in a more patient and loving way. And I've always been told by other people, oh my gosh, you're such a patient mom. You're so loving. You're so kind. If that were me, I would have exploded. Things like that. And yeah, in public, maybe I've been a good example of a parent who can hold their shit together. But at home, I sure as hell am not. And I've always been very honest with people, with friends and stuff, saying, yeah, no, you know, at home I let loose and I'm just being like, who's going to really let loose out in public? Yeah, that's weird. So my situation financially right now, this week are electric and gas and water and sewer. The bills are piling up because, crazy me, I've decided that my children are more important than working a job for someone who is running a restaurant and thinking about the money rather than the employees' healths. Healths, is that the right way to put it? Yeah, thinking about the bottom line, the money. And so I decided that I wouldn't do that. And then I decided that we would just see what happened, lean into it and let Mother Earth take care of us. Because you know what? I can't raise my kids in this world with this kind of setup. My kids are not going to be healthy individuals if I'm sick. And if I'm sick because of society, I'm like in a pickle, right? So yeah, our our gas bill was mounting up. And I was able to apply for COVID assistance. It's called CHAD, CHAD or P, I'm not sure which. I think it's CHAP. But anyway, there is some funding out there for you single parents. It's COVID Housing Assistance Plan. And you can apply through the county, and I advise you to definitely do that. Look into it, because you need assistance, then you need assistance, and you should go get it. And CHAP moved on in, and within 4 days, they had my outstanding bill paid for, which took a humongous weight off of my shoulders. I was really upset and worried, thinking we were going to lose everything, which, I mean, I'm still under the fear that that could be a possibility anyway. Whew. But the other thing that's really exciting is that I reached out to my representatives, and I did get a contact back from Liz. Oh, I should probably just look on my phone here and see who that is. I think her name was Liz Olson. Anyway, she reached back and she said to me that we will get back in touch with one another and talk this through. Because I do believe that our representatives have no idea that unemployment for people like me is not a possibility, or is possibly not a possibility. And then people like me also, who have spouses who are now unemployed, are finding that they're not getting child support. So yeah, here, Liz Olson, she's one of our reps. She said, thanks for reaching out. I'm sorry to hear about your continued strife with your situation. I contacted Lindsay Hansen, and we're going to find a time to contact over the phone. Lindsay can also look into your situation a bit more soon. Liz. So, there is help out there, guys. We just need to ask for it. And as a person who came from shame-based, shame everything family, asking for help is not something that, that you do with outsiders. You don't want to bring shame to your family. You don't want to bring shame out there into the light. But you know what? Getting help is not shameful. I have a little story way back in 2001. I found the community land trust in our city and bought a house, and they helped me with the down payment. And my mother was very certain that I was going to get ripped off, or it was just a scam, and it ended up being the real deal. And here I am, 19 years later in the same house. So it's not a scam. There are ways to reach out and ask for help without looking like a complete beggar fool, And even if you do look like a beggar fool, who are you concerned is looking at you? And why? So yeah. Got some help. Gonna look into maybe even reaching out into the community and doing a little more, maybe bringing some more light to the fact that people like me, my situation is a little bit different than a lot of people, maybe, but I'm sure there's others out there like me. My ex-husband is not considered a fit candidate for parenting. He's got a couple of cases now that, child endangerment. There was some, what do you call that? Inappropriate behavior that he was having, ignoring consent with his wife, which is really creepy. And yeah, so the thought of having him take my kids if I pass away because of COVID-19 is absolutely trauma causing within my soul. Like, I just want to die. That's scary as hell. I don't want my children to be raised by him. I don't. That's why I had him, that's why I asked him to leave. That's why the divorce happened in 2016. So that is just not, and that's just not something I'm okay with. I can't have him. Not that I'd be able to do a damn thing if I were dead, but I know that my children would have a really rough time. He's just not very mature. And the kids know it. And I mean, it's not a secret. It's very obvious that dad is not mature. Even to the 8-year-old. Crazy. And that's not out of my doing. It's just something that they've recognized and said to me, "Oh, I don't think dad knows because dad just, he's like a little kid." They say things like that to me sometimes, and I'm like, "Wow, whoa. Okay, gosh, I feel so bad for him that even his 8-year-old is saying, dad only knew. If dad only knew that he what he has, So, okay. So yeah. Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday was rough because Tuesday was the day that I was on the phone constantly, calling, 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 trying to get a hold of people, trying to get paperwork filled out, finding out that my food stamps account just got put on frickin', what do you call it? Inactive status. And let me tell you, I'm gonna reach out to the health department and maybe even give a call into the attorney general and tell them about the act. A few years ago, the same thing happened to me. What's happened here is in order to fill out for food stamps, you need to have proof of a job. And my daughter lost her job due to COVID-19. So
she needed to fill out a form stating that she wasn't working there anymore. And she left that position in bad standing. In fact, she's waiting for an appeal with unemployment in December. And she also had to report this company to the Labor Department because they weren't supplying, they weren't even acknowledging her needs or concerns for the COVID outbreak. And so she's facing that kind of shit. But anyway, when I worked at another position for a backpack company in Duluth, Minnesota called Frost River, they also did the very same thing to me. They, not only did they withhold my raise money, but they also, withheld that paperwork for 2 months. And when they wouldn't fill out that paperwork, that delayed my case. And so we didn't have food stamps for 2 months, and I had $0 back then. And it was just, I was in my lowest phase of depression at that time. I don't even know how we made it through that. I think I think a girlfriend of mine from childhood set up a GoFundMe, and we ended up getting, you know, $600 or $700 up so that I could pay for a few things, but things were slim. We were eating canned chicken noodle soup, you know, and food shelf food for 2 months. It was really hard. It was really scary. I still don't know how we made it through it. But yeah, here I see that I'm in that same damn situation again. My daughter's business, or my daughter's, the company my daughter worked for, it's an art glass studio here, blows glass in Duluth. And they sat on the paperwork. So 2 months almost, it's been a month and a half. They held on to the paperwork until they finally filled it out. And it's been a month later. And so I called and I said, hey, why am I inactive? And they said, well, your information wasn't submitted. And I said, but I did. I complied. I had everything in by August. And they said, well, the form from the employer didn't show up until October 5th. So I said, well, I complied, you know. And yeah, their embarrassing silence, and then, you know, bullshit complaints or excuses. Oh, maybe next time, if anything happens like that, then you should call us after 10 days and see if your employer sent the paperwork in, things like that. And it's like, you guys, this is, what is your job then? What is your job then? You know, what do you guys do? So, but then again, you know, I do need to be active and pay attention to where, you know, our things are. But when you're super depressed and you're sick and you're like concerned about everything else, the last thing you're thinking about is if your past employer has filled out paperwork. And, you know, you kind of hope that people are going to do the right thing and not just fucking sit there and let you and your children and your family go through terrifying worry and concern. And I'm sure they don't even know that that's what they're putting us through, but Jesus, they need to find out then. So yeah, I'm reaching out to the public. I feel like I may actually be, and I'm not going to make any promises here because I don't have any faith in myself yet, but I'm working on that, but that's why I'm in therapy. I feel like if we can get a handle on what we're going through right now, and then with what's going on in the world, we might be able to get the word out, and eventually people might start noticing that, hey, wow, the presidency and all this shit is actually toxic. This all toxic shit reminds me of when I lived at home with my toxic grandfather or dad or uncle or mom or whatever, you know, like this freaking presidency garbage, this platform that we're all expected to vote on is gagging. And I realize I'm probably just sort of going all over the place here with my conversation. But I do feel strongly that I need to reach out and be part of some part of the community and in being a voice for people who are too consumed with all of their issues, you know, of parenting, single parenting during this time. Like, who's going to think about what I'm thinking about? I don't think there are many who are going to even consider this as something that could be possibly going on. But yeah, there are parents who, like me, the child support just ended. There is no child support. There is no unemployment available for our spouses. And we are getting scared. And we need help. And we need help now, not like next week. Well, next week will be fine, but you know, we need help. So that's what's going on in our neck of the woods. I've been really dipping deep in making my artwork because, you know what, that's what I am. I'm an artist, and I need to just lean into that and accept that that's who I am. And I like it, and I do. And then I can hope that just by sharing my work, my artwork, and my podcast, and update my Facebook page and Instagram and things like that, then I can hope to reach out to people and maybe help people find some healing. A book that I would strongly recommend is The Whole Brain Child. And then that one's for being a parent. And then another one that's really good is I think I've recommended this before. It's Mothers Who Can't Love, and it's like a guide for daughters like me and you maybe. And it should be for sons too, you know. I think maybe we need to, there needs to be a son that steps up and says, yeah, my mom didn't, and this is my story. There's a lot of, I don't think that men are allowed to feel their feelings about how their relationships with their mothers went. I don't think that that's even been a thing yet. But you guys out there, you know, I know what you're talking about. I went through it with my mother. I watched my mother treat my brother the way she did. And, you know, he could do very little wrong though, and he really has a high self-esteem, good confidence. I don't know, maybe my mom just raised me differently than she did him, but yeah, she did. Never mind. I was too much her reflection. She couldn't take it. He was, yeah, there's, to be honest, I don't know if any of you have recognized this, but I noticed that a lot of parents, you know, boys will be boys, they can just write it off. And I have never been like that with my own son. I'd be like, you know, you can't do that. And we would talk, but yeah. And my brother wasn't one of those boys that did a whole lot of really bad stuff. He was the kind of guy that called mom in the middle of the night and said, I'm drunk, can you come and pick me up, for the first, you know, for his first time, and then never again doing that, according to her. Because he learned so well, because he was such a good kid, and, you know, why couldn't I be more like him, and all that fun stuff. So I've kind of rattled on. In the meantime, I'm painting this painting of my brother. It's kind of cathartic, painful. I had a really close relationship with my brother when we were growing up, my older brother. And in high school, of course, it got strained. In grade school too, because, you know, my brother wasn't liked by many people. He was very smart, and people teased him a lot, and I saw how they teased him and didn't want to have anything to do with that, so I would just pull away from him and not sit with him on the bus, but he wouldn't sit with me on the bus, you know. We gave each other space, and he was a really good brother. When we were little, he was very protective of me and demanding that I'm respectable, and you know, like he was second mom to me. And our relationship after I told my mom to get out of my life, he took it kind of personally. He wanted to be the one to fix my marriage, and it didn't work. And when I told him that, you know, I had tried everything that he was trying to tell me to do, you know, everything he was telling me to do was 20 years late or 15 years late, and that I had already done all of those things. And don't you think I had tried everything that you're saying? That left him feeling completely useless, and he ended up just ending our relationship right then and there. I have not spoken to my brother since 2016, my older brother, and it is now 2020. I tried to, and I sent letters to him, and I said, look, you know, you had heart palpitations and panic attacks and all these things when we were growing up. You were suffering, dude. And, you know, mom took you in, but she didn't listen to me. You know, she didn't listen to me. I was ignored. I had, you know, fingernails that were chewed to the quick and bleeding and infected. And then I had severe stomach and bowel issues where I had to go into the hospital a few times because of how much pain I would drop to the floor in agony. Having barium tests to see why can't I eat? What's the matter with me? And I tried to point that stuff out to him and say to him, hey, yo, you know, we were suffering when we were growing up. We had mental illnesses. It's so obvious, you know, it was normal to have mental illnesses in the 70s, I guess, but, you know, mom could have paid better attention to us and been more attentive to us. You know, I had such horrible nightmares that my parents, my mom and my stepdad, ended up putting exploder firework things on the doors so that if I ever like walked out the door, which I had done in my sleep many before, if I did that, then they would hear me and maybe stop me from going out and getting hurt in my sleepwalking. And you know, if my kid was sleepwalking, I think I'd be like, what the hell, my kid is sick. I think I need to bring them into the doctor. But I guess, you know, like in the 70s, back when I was 20 years old, I was totally in love with a boy, and I wrote this song for him. To me, you are what I want to be. You are, you are everything. Now that I know that I want to be who I want to be, and I want to be who I am, I'm going to sing this song to myself from here on in.
So thanks for stopping by and joining me. Thanks for spending this half hour with me. I hope you enjoy the snippets that I pop in for jokey commercials, and I'm going to keep on trying to work on creating a podcast that I'm proud of and that I like to share, which so far has been how it is. There's some of mine that are sad, some that are really melancholy and hard, but you know what? That's my life and that's who I am. And there are some sad and melancholy things that have happened to me in the past, and I'm not going to make excuses anymore, and I really shouldn't feel ashamed or sad or embarrassed about the pain that I've gone through in order to reach the point that I'm at. I should be proud of all that I've done. I have climbed out of the mire. I've woken up from the abuse, and I am aware, and I am not continuing those same patterns in my own children. So here's to growth and change. Here's to encouragement and brightness and shininess, and may you be lifted up in joy and move forward in your day, and just may your day be awesome. And today feels really good. Oh, I do want to say that this past week, as it got worse and worse and worse, the universe decided to give us a 75 degree day on Friday. And we backed up and ran out to the beach, and we spent the day on the beach. So if you want to see some pictures from our trip, I did some silly little, I did a video of, okay. So as a child, I always wanted to be, what's his name from the animal show on PBS? I can't think of his name. And I would look at National Geographic's, and I just wanted to be a nature show host. So I did a nature show host on the beach on Lake Superior Shores in Wisconsin. And it's kind of short and silly, and I hope you enjoy it. Take a peek on Instagram. It's Instagram/ Alexis Starbro, STARBRO. Like I'm your star bro. Got it? Fist bump. Chin up. Safe and social, you guys. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing. Supporting at $1 a month would totally help me out through Anchor. And share it with your friends. I can only get better, and I can only do better if you hand me some feedback while you're at it. So please like, subscribe, share, and please leave comments, because I need comments to build me up. People don't know what this podcast is about, so word of mouth is what I'm depending on. Thank you. Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama, Dalai Lama. You're listening to the Dalai Mama with your host, Alexis.